Welcome to Attorneys Are Human Too, a podcast with your host Stephen Wallace and co-host Selena Music of the Wallace Law Group. Today, our guest is Michael Berger, a psychotherapist from Boca Raton, Florida. The topic of our show today is how to stay sane during COVID-19. And so let's jump right into it. Michael, could you let us know where you grew up and some of your extracurricular activities that you had when you were a child and in school?
I sure can. And first, I want to thank you for allowing me on the podcast. And I love the title of the podcast. And I, too, believe that attorneys are human also. So I just wanted to start with that. That is a true statement. So, absolutely. So, thanks again, Stephen. As you and I go way back to the years of upstate New York. I grew up in Syracuse, as did you, and big Syracuse Orange fan. And so I grew up there and through high school. And as a kid, loved playing basketball. Was a big Chicago Bulls basketball fan, and loved the 49ers. I stayed away from the Bills and the Giants. I wanted to be different in that way. But I remember our heated battles on the driveway when you'd come over. We'd hang out, you, my brother, and me. It was a lot of fun. And as you mentioned, you're a psychotherapist and see, you know, individuals, couples. I ran a men's group for the past 7 years, you know, working with men's issues, couples, addictions also. And, you know, when I'm not working, certainly like creative pursuits. At one time, I did open mic comedy. I really enjoyed that. I did motivational speaking years ago. Also interested in poetry and that kind of thing. So now I also have a 2-year-old. So certainly he keeps me.
We're here today to talk about how to stay sane during COVID.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm sure you're just reading the headlines every day, and I try to not watch the news, but these darn updates pop up on my iPhone that I can't resist. Yeah. So let me, I guess my first question is, has your practice volume gone up, and what technological tools have you used to treat patients during the age of quarantine?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, in our office, it certainly has picked up a great deal. And we, like so many other mental health professionals, are practicing what's called telehealth. And there's a variety of formats that are used. We use the Doxy format to work with our patients. It's very, very similar to Zoom, like we're on now, but it's just a more secure site. And the stress level is quite high for a few reasons for the patients. You know, some they've lost their jobs. Some have maintained the jobs, but of course, like so many of us, they're working from home, and they are the stress of being quarantined. Right, that has really significantly impacted their mental health, their relationships, if they're in one, a marriage or, you know, romantic or otherwise. And so there's very rarely a session where that doesn't come up.
Can I ask you, Michael, just for the listeners that don't really know exactly, what is psychotherapy, though? I mean, when I hear psychotherapy, I think of Hannibal Lecter.
That was a very good movie, but certainly that's a whole other case. So psychotherapy is a form of therapy where we are working with our patients in a variety of different ways. So we could focus on how past events may have contributed to kind of the problems that they're having now, like maybe making connection between childhood events and the struggles they're having in a relationship, or struggles they're having with coping with life stressors, or how they see themselves, maybe, you know, guilt or shame, or maybe like reoccurring issues in relationships. But there's different styles of therapy that a therapist can offer. You could be focusing on just the thoughts, which is a cognitive behavioral therapy. It's very common with anxiety or stress, or helping people gain more insight into, really helping people gain more insight into the problems they're experiencing. There's many different modalities to do that, but I assure you it's a lot more safer and more pleasant than anything you do with Hannibal Lecter, for sure.
Okay.
But it's a good question. There's so many people who are a little reluctant to go into therapy, but really it's sitting with a person and it's really learning more about them, what's going on for them, and finding out kind of what I can do to to understand what's happening for them, give them help them gain insight so that they can come to their own conclusion and really ultimately improve their lives.
Correct. Yeah, because I hear so often, especially people my age, the younger generation is more open to therapy.
Yeah.
But I find a lot of like my parents, for example, to say, well, I'm not crazy. Why do I need therapy?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of times that I say to myself, I don't know. I think you should get some therapy.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up because one doesn't need to be crazy or insane to get help. It's sitting down with someone who's a trained listener, trained in human behavior. And so many of us don't have a person in our lives who just listens. Right? Everyone wants to give us advice, everyone wants to dismiss us, or they've got their own things going on. But imagine sitting with someone 45, 50 minutes whose their sole job is to listen to you, is to hear what you're saying and connect with your feeling. And then we all have what's called blind spots, you know, things that we're not aware about ourselves. And when you share that in the therapy environment, the therapist can point those out to you. So now you have greater insight. Oh, I didn't realize that. Or they can help you with coping skills and coping strategies. So certainly don't be insane or crazy, you know, to benefit from that kind of a relationship. But there's still, believe it or not, some stigmas around seeing a therapist.
A lot of our listeners are busy professionals, real estate executives, investors, attorneys. And one of the challenges that a lot of these types of professionals have is the balance between work and family life. So if you had a professional come to you and are experiencing some challenges in their relationships, both romantically and with their family, what kind of advice would you give these professionals on how to establish better work-life balance?
Yeah, that's a great question. And in fact, I have so many professionals who come to me with a similar concern. So I'd say a couple things. First of all, we talk about, and this also links to the topic of this podcast is, in terms of how to stay sane. First, I want to talk about what is it that you really have control over? And so often we get anxious or some sense of unmanageability when we're trying to focus on things we have no control over. The people, the pandemic, what the government's doing, that's all creates a lot of anxiety. So to start to lessen that, let's take it back. And what do I have control over today? What can I do? And the only thing I have control over is just my thoughts and my actions, what I do in this moment. So that in itself is helpful. And then in terms of balance, you know, I'd want to get to know more what's going on for that particular professional, their time management, where are their priorities? Are they taking time for self-care? So many professionals, you know, suffer from that ism of workaholism. And so let's take a look at their relationship to work, their relationship to performance. Are there any areas of their life where they can cut back, maybe in their work life, to make more room for their family life? So I'd also want to learn what's going on in the family. And how is the communication with your wife or with your husband? Is there clear expectations? Like, for example, are you guys scheduling dinner time? Is that an important thing for you to do? So I'd really want to learn more about that particular professional and educate them on the importance of like life-work balance. Are you taking the time to take care of yourself? What is your body telling you in terms of are you stressed? Are you anxious? Because a lot of professionals might not realize that their life-work balance is out of balance, but they come in for other symptoms, like I can't concentrate, or I can't sleep, or, you know, I'm feeling tense all the time. Why do you think that is?
Well, right? Sounds like all my symptoms.
I was just about to say that.
Yeah. So I like to teach my clients that your body talks to you, and your body can educate you on maybe something that's going on. So if you're feeling those things, it's a sign that maybe you got to take a time out. Do I need to take a break? Do I need to take what's called a mental health day? It's so foreign sometimes to take a day off, God forbid, right? Or take a break throughout the day. Like, that's okay too. Sometimes it's not huge changes that one needs to make. Take a lunch hour if that's what's given to you. So these little adjustments that professionals might resist or not even think about can go a long way in helping them feel more balanced.
That makes total sense. What about during this pandemic where a lot of us are just feeling hopeless? I wake up And I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Are there going to be more cases? Is the courthouse going to be completely closed? Because we're dependent on the court system, and it's a constant stressor. Luckily, we've been able to use technology for business and to keep everything moving. It's tense because I find myself buying groceries worried, am I going to get COVID?
Yeah.
I have that same concern too.
Yeah, and especially if you have a family, you're concerned about your children also. And it's so, so common. We're all in this together, if you will. So the anxiety and the stress level is high for all of us. First of all, one thing that I mentioned earlier, what can I control today? What's the next best thing that I can do right now? I can't control whether other people wear masks or not. I can't control the messages coming from the government. I can't control the news that's coming out. So what that does, it helps me shift on, okay, what's the next best thing that I can do? Okay, I know I can do my work. I know that I can do self-care. I know I can focus on the things going on right in front of me. So those has been very helpful for myself and for the clients who tend to focus a lot on kind of what's going on around us, which is, you know, it's very common to do that. So because other people are always going to make the healthiest of choices. I can't change what that person does, but I can take care of me. I can make sure that I wear a mask. I can't control that the person outside is not socially distancing or not wearing a mask, but I know I can socially distance, right? I know I can wear a mask, right? So I believe it starts there. And also, you know, we all want to be informed in this society. You know, we have the internet, we have a podcast, we have the television. What I'd recommend is really be mindful of how much information you're consuming. Right? Because the information that we take in is going to really impact our mindset. If we are watching news, if we're watching the numbers of cases go up and we are really hyper-focused on what's happening with the pandemic hour after hour, our anxiety rates will go up, you know? So really pay attention. How many hours am I fixed on the news? How many hours am I spending reading these horror stories of young people dying?
Yeah, I don't watch the news. I just watch pro wrestling. That calms me down, you know?
I'm laughing because I have the news on all day.
Okay. So if you were my client, I'd say, well, let's take a look at that. Maybe cut that in half. Of course, I've got no problem with you being informed. I want to be informed as well, of course. I'm a dad also, and so I want to be informed. But there's a balance to that too, you know? So that's another piece of advice that I would give to stay sane is what can I control? And how much information am I allowing myself to take in? Also, let's take a look at healthy distractions. What are things that I do that bring me some sense of joy or comfort? So whether that's, you know, taking a warm bath or watching a funny movie or watching wrestling or reading a book or turning off the TV or internet, spending time with family. I'm also a big proponent of any mindfulness exercises like meditation. YouTube has several meditations, any topic imaginable, meditation, stress, guided meditation, abundance, right? So it's a great free resource to kind of take 5 minutes when you recognize, okay, my mind is starting to worry and get overwhelmed with all these things happening outside my realm of control. Let me take a breath, you know, a deep relaxation breath. Let's listen to something relaxing and let's get centered. Let's just focus right on the moment. And there's one neat exercise I like to share with my clients. It's called the 3-2-1 exercise. And so what I tell them is once they realize their thoughts are in worry mode, I say, okay, name 3 things that you physically can see, feel, and hear in your environment, and then 2 different things that you can see, feel, and hear, and then 1. And what it does is it centers, right? So if I would do that, if my mind's racing about the pandemic and I can't control the government and, or, you know, what's – I say, okay, I see the phone, you know, I see the lamp, I see the wall, I hear the fan, I hear a truck driving by, I feel the glasses on my nose, the shirt on my chest, etc. And what it does is when you focus on your 5 senses, it brings you to the moment because that's really all that's going on is right here and right now. And when you're in the right here and right now, you're not worried about the future. What if it gets worse, right? What if things get better? What if they never find a vaccine? I mean, those are all fears that we all have, right? And very few of us are actually working on that vaccine. which is actually freeing in a way because I can't do anything about that. So I'm going to choose not to like focus too much on that. Let's focus on what I can do in right here in the moment.
So Michael, have there ever been a situation where you've had a patient come to you and after a while in therapy, you've just decided I can't help this person and said they need to see another therapist. And then just, and another question I would have would be, and this is something that we experience as attorneys, is there, you know, oftentimes we make recommendations to clients and they just don't listen to us and they keep falling in the same pattern. So could you comment on those two issues for us?
I'd be happy to. So the answer to the first question is yes, certainly there's been a patient I've had, I feel like I couldn't help. And when I'm not doing that person a service by keeping them in therapy, if I feel like I can't help them, what I'll do when I've got the therapist hat on is bring it out and say something like, so how do you feel like this is going? And there's been suggestions that we've talked about it, and it doesn't seem like there's much progress happening. And I'd want to check in with them, like to have a conversation with them. I do what's called feedback informed therapy anyway, which is basically at the end of every session, I ask them, how do you feel like it's going? And so I get their feedback. So that's an important conversation to have that with that person. Therapy, there's a variety of different issues and specialties. And if someone's coming to me in an area that I'm not familiar with or trained in, what I'll do is I'll recommend that person to see someone else so they get their needs met, right?
And could you let our listeners know which areas of therapy are you trained or subspecialties?
Yeah, sure. So in terms of stylistically, cognitive behavioral therapy, something called psychodynamic therapy, which is about, as I was sharing earlier, helping someone see the link between what went on with them as kids and their family of origin and how that is impacting their choices and their belief systems in their life today. Also something called motivational interviewing, which is a type of therapy used frequently for addicts and alcoholics. Addiction is a big issue here in South Florida, and it helps them connect with maybe some internal motivation to change if they're presenting as resistant. Also specific training in group therapy and in couples therapy as well. So those are kind of the trainings that I've done, and then I practice also do with inner child work with my clients. And then in terms of topics, couples therapy, addictions, men's issues around shame and guilt and stress, anxiety as well. So thank you for that question. And then so you also asked me, so an attorney, you give advice and the clients don't follow it. Is that what you're saying?
No, they're creatures of habit sometimes, and they'll repeat the same mistake after we resolve it. And I think especially me, I find myself, Stephen tells me, don't take it so, you know, personal, but I find myself pulling my hair like, why would you do this?
I'm kind of jaded after these years. I expect the worst out of our clients, and then I'm pleasantly surprised when they give us their best.
when we're in professional fields like we are, the help, and that help looks different. We believe in what we're saying. We know what we're talking about. We're giving the suggestions, and we know what's best for our clients. And when they don't take it, it certainly is frustrating, right? Of course. You know, what's helped me in my field deal with that same issue is realize that I'm not, at the end of the day, I'm not really in control of what they do, right? I kind of detach from the outcome. I know I can do my best and I can believe 100% in what I share with them, and I could tell them very confidently, like, this is a good path. But at the end of the day, it's up to them to take it or not. It's not a reflection on me. It's more a reflection on them. And if they don't take the advice, maybe they're not ready to change. Maybe they're more interested in the problem than the solution. There could be a variety of reasons why they're not accepting your advice or suggestions, which means nothing about your advice or your suggestion. It says more about them than you. And it certainly is more freeing when you can, on some level, detach from the outcome. Like, listen, I did my best. I shared with you what I know is going to work. And then it's up to them to do it or not.
Yeah.
You know? Does that make sense?
Oh, it makes perfect sense.
It does.
Yeah.
So here's my next question. So one of your specialties that you mentioned was addiction therapy. And so we're familiar with substance abuse addictions, but can you elaborate on some of the other addictions? And are there any addictions that you've learned about that you were even surprised it's an addiction?
Yeah, well, like you said, Steve, there's the chemical and alcohol, the chemical addiction, alcoholism, certainly substance abuse addiction. But there's also something called process addiction, which are behaviorally based addictions, right? So, for example, gambling would be an example of process addiction, sex addiction, codependency, you know, debtors anonymous, you know, so an addiction to debting.
And you can refer all those debtor anonymous to us because we practice bankruptcy law and we can solve those problems for you.
We can solve the problem, but we can't change them from
behavior.
Doing it again.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can give the solution for sure. So, you know, basically any behavior has the potential of developing into kind of an addictive or compulsive, you know, problem. And so the key would be to ask yourself, like, is this behavior that I may be struggling with, is it leading to unmanageability in my life? Am I continuing to choose to do this behavior despite the consequences? Yeah, and those couple of questions and the answer to that question would give that person a lot of insight and awareness to, maybe I need to take a look at this. Maybe the hours and hours of TV or internet has become a problem. Or maybe my relationship to food has become a problem. You know, maybe
I like food. I'm a big fan of the food.
Food is a tough one, right? Because we need the food. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes, too, in the behavioral addictions, people will go to those behaviors to cope with some feeling that they don't want to experience, right? I'm sad, so let me eat or let me act out in a sex addiction or shopping addiction or gambling, right? Or there's some kind of all addiction is an escape of some kind. So whether it's chemical and drugs, it's a behavior, they all serve the same purpose. They feel good in the moment and they help us escape whatever we're not really wanting to experience.
I agree. Steven's addicted to the food. I was addicted to the coffee.
Yeah, that coffee is a tough one to give up. It definitely is.
Oh yeah. I had to literally tell myself, I think I have a problem.
Yeah. I used to be addicted to Diet Coke, but I haven't had any Diet Coke since last year, and I feel so much better not drinking all that caffeine.
Amazing. Yeah, sugar. That's another, you know, that's a tough one to give up. And that reminds me actually also to the previous question about how do I stay sane? You know, think, how am I taking care of myself? You know, what am I eating? What am I putting into my body? Because that can increase, you know, stress. You know, because pandemic or not, we can still take care of ourselves, whether meditation, controlling what we take in information-wise, exercising at home, looking at what we eat. So that is another way to kind of to stay sane with all this. Even though the gyms are, you don't need a gym to work out, right? You can.
I work out with YouTube so that I can eat more, so that I can exercise more, right?
Yeah. So that's also something people can do.
Selena?
That's great. No, I agree. Working out virtually has been a blessing in disguise for me. But I also want to know, are you getting a lot of, and I ask this because I'm married, and before the pandemic, I would go to work and my husband would go to work.
Yeah.
But now we're both here. And are you hearing from a lot of couples that they feel that they're, I guess, bumping heads? You know?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, for sure. Being quarantined is stressful enough by itself, you know, and then add to it a marriage or a relationship. And, you know, if there was a stressor before, if there was some disconnect in the relationship or communication patterns before, well, certainly if you're stuck at home together, it's going to amplify it, right? For sure. So we certainly have seen that. And so couples now feel more of an urgency to get to do some work because they can't necessarily hide or run from the issue like they may have done in the past because they're both going to work. So they don't have to deal with it, if that makes sense. So they're at home and they're arguing more, they're getting on each other's nerves more, and what was stresses that weren't there before now emerge, or maybe stresses that were manageable now become unmanageable. So absolutely, I'm hearing a lot of that from the couples.
I guess another question along those lines would be, if you have a married couple and then they start having children, oftentimes when you add children to the mix, especially small children or babies, it really increases the time management skills as well as additional stresses on the couple, both financial and how am I going to care for this other human being that they can't care for themselves. So do you have any advice on any married couples how to protect their relationship during the addition of children into the family?
Yeah, for sure. It's so important for couples to be on the same page. So first I would suggest to have a check-in time, have a scheduled time during the day or the week where you both have have wound down for the day. And let's have a talk. Hey, how are things going, first of all? How are you doing? How am I doing? Let's just first check in with how each of us are doing. And just to be transparent with what's important, how are we doing with the kids, Talk about choices that were made earlier in terms of whether it's disciplining or the rules that you guys have enforced. And because I find a lot of couples struggle also parents, with not being clear about what their expectations are, having two different expectations, not talking about what's most important to them. The couples that succeed really enter with on the same game plan. They're on the same page with what's important for them in terms of parenting styles, expectations of their children, and also to recognize being a parent is stressful, right? It's tough for all parents, and throw on top of that a pandemic. So each taking the time to take care of themselves as well. I'm going to take care of me, the self-care we talked about. Your partner should also take some time for self-care because that's going to help them show up better as a parent. These little check-in meetings, these emotional well-being meetings really can go a long way in just making sure that, hey, we're on the same page. How you doing? How am I doing? Okay, we're good, and now let's move forward.
Michael, this is great. I feel much better. I feel like this is, you're giving Selena a session as well. So as we wind down, you provided our listeners some great tips and tools. Now we have to shift to some silly pop culture and sports questions because that's really what our listeners enjoy the most. So my first question is, being quarantined, what show or shows have you been binge watching?
I watched documentaries on Netflix quite a bit. Fortunately, I've been busier recently, so less time to watch the documentaries. The last one that I watched was about Mayberry. The athlete? Stephon Mayberry, was it?
Stephon Marbury. Yeah, I just watched that one too.
Yeah.
Kid from Coney Island.
That was nice. Kid from Coney Island.
Yeah, excellent.
That's the one that I just watched. Absolutely.
To add to Stephen's question, what comfort food? Okay, I know you're eating healthy, but you do need some comfort food every once in a while.
I mean, normally that'd be an easy question. I recently started the keto diet, so I'm struggling to find a comfort food that fits in the keto diet, structure. But I think before the keto, comfort food for me would be ice cream.
What flavor? What's your favorite flavor?
Vanilla. Gotta be going with the vanilla.
Just straight up vanilla. Okay, so you said you mentioned that you've been watching documentaries on Netflix. Did you see The Tiger King?
Yes, of course I did.
Okay, so here's my follow-up question.
Yes.
Who do you like better and why, Carol Baskin or Joe Exotic?
And we need your psychoanalysis of each of them.
Well, I feel like with Joe Exotic, what you see is what you get. You know what I mean? If he's wild and zany, he's going to tell it like it is. Carol Baskin, there's some mystery with her. I don't know if I completely trust her. I think she killed her husband. I mean, I don't know. There's some. I'm not the trained attorney, but there are some holes in her argument, if you will. So for entertainment purposes, I'm going to go with Joe Exotic.
And I guess a follow-up to that, should I feel guilty because I was rooting for Joe Exotic during the documentary?
So was I.
You know what? I'm going to say no, and I think that's what the producers of the film were counting on, and that's why so many people continue to watch it.
So Selena and I are going to ask you one more question each,
okay. And
then we're going to go to our lightning round.
Oh, this wasn't the lightning round?
Nope, not yet.
Oh, okay. All right. No.
Okay, well, my question is, you mentioned that you did stand-up comedy.
Yes.
Okay. Why stand-up comedy? That's so not what I would expect from a psychotherapist.
Yeah. At the time, I remember I was in the library at FAU. I was studying, and I was feeling distracted. And I had always wanted to be in front of people. That was kind of like this reoccurring thought, get in front of people. And then something just came to me like, oh, you know what? They have a comedy club down the street. That would be the easiest and fastest way to get myself in front of people. You know, I don't need more years of schooling to do it. So I just was writing kind of funny observations and ended up with 5 or 10 pages of funny observations. And I went, it was a Sunday night, I believe. There was maybe 4 or 5 people in the audience. I walked in and they asked me, are you our comedian for the night? And I remember I was very nervous. So I said, I don't know, I haven't decided yet. So I actually went into the bathroom, sat on the toilet, gave myself a motivational message, like, you can do this, you can do this. And I went on stage and I said whatever I said, maybe a chuckle here and there. But, you know, it felt great. It felt very natural. And so that's kind of when I was bitten by that bug. So, you know, there was something innate in me, you know, inner artist or performer, I think. And that's kind of what the story was.
Okay, my final question before the lightning round. If you could have dinner with 3 historical figures, a table of 4, who would they be and why?
Oh my goodness. 3 historical figures.
We ask the tough questions on Attorneys Are Human Too, a podcast.
Yes, we do, and completely unprepared. Now, historical could be in any field?
Any field.
Okay. Okay, well, I'll start off with entertainment. And the person that I'd want at that table is Robin Williams, because I was such a fan of his humor and comedy, but also just such his drama, the performance in Good Will Hunting, it was remarkable, you know. And when he passed, I felt like, wow, someone close to me died. So I felt like I felt the sadness about that. So he would be on my list. I would say, you know, right now, I would say Dr. King, Dr. Martin Luther King, because, you know, in these times, especially, I really would love to talk to him and get his opinion and his feelings and thoughts about what's happening in our world right now. I think I would just sit back and just listen. I mean, that would just be awe-inspiring to get his take on what's happening in the moment or right now in our world and in our nation. And the third historical figure that I'd want to hear from would be, let's see, I think this is a challenging one. Third one would be, this is tough. Now, this is alive or dead?
Alive or dead.
Alive or dead. Okay, well, that certainly makes it easier, right? You know, I think I'd also want to hear Michael Jordan sitting there, because I just, you know, I'd watched that series recently. I forget the name of it.
The Last Dance. Yeah, it's a popular topic on our podcast.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. So I want to answer with him and, you know, his approach to competition and motivation. I mean, that certainly would be a great person to talk with. And that would be a heck of a dinner if you think about those three people sitting around a table talking to. So that's who I would choose.
Okay, lightning round. I'm going to give you this or that choices. And you just answer without explanation.
Okay, got it.
Adam Sandler or Will Ferrell?
Adam Sandler.
Burgers or tacos?
Tacos.
Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Basketball or football?
Basketball.
Hugging or kissing?
Hugging.
Rain or sun?
Gotta go with the sun.
Beach or mountains?
Mountains.
Dog or cat?
I'm going to go with the dog.
Coke or Diet Coke?
Diet.
Exercising or sleeping?
You can technically lose weight sleeping.
Sleeping it is. Nothing like a good night's sleep.
Florida or New York?
Oh, man. I'm going to go with New York. I'm sorry, guys.
Yes, I'm a New Yorker.
Rich or poor?
Rich.
Early or late?
I'm going to go with early.
Okay. Thank you so much for being on our show. And please, before we end, tell our listeners how we can find you.
Sure, yeah. So right now I'm part of the group practice of Dr. Berlin and Psychological Associates. There's a website that she has, berlinmentalhealth.com. And, you know, right now all the therapy is being done through telehealth, as I mentioned earlier. She does have offices in Boca and Coral Springs. But I'd say you go on the website and you'll see the list of therapists there. I'm on there as well, and phone number to reach out to. And certainly they can reach me through there.
How about social media?
Social media, you know, I do, I'm recently on Twitter and Instagram. But in terms of professional services, you know, I would just direct them to that website.
What's the website?
The website, yeah, the BerlinMentalHealth.com.
Excellent. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Michael. And, you know, you've definitely given a lot of value to our listeners. And, you know, we may call upon you. You're officially our mental health expert now. So if you'll agree, we'd love to have you on in future episodes.
Oh, I'd be thrilled. Thank you so much. It was truly a pleasure. So excited to have done this. Thank you for the opportunity. I'm happy to come on whenever you'd like.
Thanks, Michael. Thank you for listening to this episode of Attorneys Are Human Too. Please subscribe to this podcast in your favorite podcast provider. Please also, if you enjoyed today's content, please share the content with a friend. Please ask them to subscribe. And please, if you really enjoyed this, leave us a 5-star review. Thank you. Until next time.